Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Great to be with you, slap bang in the middle of Magic Round, all coming from Suncorp Stadium. Already had plenty of action and plenty to come. Three games set out before us this afternoon and this evening, kicking off with the Bulldogs and the Knights. The Warriors then take on the Dragons. And then it is what should be a terrific game of footy, the Storm up against the Eels. Ryan Girdler is with me, Emma Lawrence, Wendell Salem. My name is Tony Squires. We've had the joy of the company of Aaron Woods for the past hour. Right now we have the joy of the company of Mr. Ben Dobbin. Dobbo, g'day.
You there, Dobbo?
Hello, Dobbo. How you going, mate?
No, we don't have the benefit of the company of Dobbo.
Maybe he was intimidated by how well Woodsy went.
Yes.
And thought he had big shoes to fill. Next segment, straight after Woodsy.
Well, you know what? Dobbo, you know, he's got a lot going on. He's been very good Thursday night. We were a good call. But I did ask him to go and inspect the pitch while we're here. So, yeah.
Well, that's what we're going to get to him, obviously, from the sideline. Dobbo will, when we get through to him, the microphone not working just as we speak, because there has been plenty of traffic running around on the ground. There was a bit of damp conditions as well in the back end of the first game last night.
Sort of rained last night, so that was always going to, it was always going to make it an interesting sort of few days, because the pitch, for some reason, Wendell, just doesn't look like the pristine condition at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's coming to that winter sort of feel. I don't know what sort of grass they're using at the moment.
Sort of they're trying to sort of bind in with the old grass, which I think was
someone who is closer to the action right now and to that pitch, I think, putting the key in as we speak to the Suncorp Stadium turf is Dobbo. G'day, mate.
Yeah, I'm standing on the 20-metre line, as you can see, boys, and Emma. I can tell you, I spoke to Mal Caddies, the groundsman here, and he just said, this is an absolute nightmare.
Really?
He was very not happy at all about having to put so many games on there. And Wendell, I didn't realise you were a grass expert, but you're dead right. The rye grass hasn't knitted yet. They've been having the heat lamps on it to try and get it to catch, but it hasn't as yet. So it looks very patchy, as you can see from your position when you're looking down on the ground.
Yep.
It is very patchy. How it holds up, I don't know, but they've got the old green sand and they're putting that in the gaps to try and hide the holes, and there's lots of that at the moment.
Well, to be fair, I don't want to take any credit for that, but that was Gerds who actually said most of that, so I just jumped on board and tried to steal the thunder again.
But everything else Dell is an expert in, though.
Yeah.
Pretty
Thank
much,
you.
Wouldn't you say?
True. Yes, I am. True.
I'll tell you what, if it's not the surface that the locals here in Brisbane are happy about, certainly it is a performance at last, that winning performance of the Broncos over the Sea Eagles. As we said before, courageous performance from Manly, but 26-10, the Broncos. The upshot of that for Supercoach Anthony Seibold?
Yeah, well, the good news is that he's got his third win of the season, and look, unfortunately, the Broncos, as you guys talked earlier, have released a statement. Jack Bird is gone for the season with an ACL, which is just tragic for the young man. He was playing great football for them. He's one of the best blokes in the club, and he's loved by all. And after last year with his ankle and his sternum, he didn't get any game. I think three games of the season. To be gone now is a huge loss. And it's interesting. Everybody's been talking about James Roberts to South Sydney. Well, I went to South Sydney's final training session this morning, and Wayne Bennett made a very clear statement on if James Roberts is going to be South. I think you guys have got that there.
Let's have a listen to
Wayne
Bennett.
Approached him, and James won't be coming to South Sydney.
This year?
This year, that's exactly right, and next year. He's under contract till next year, and we're certainly in that time we'll review our situation, but that's our position.
All right, that had been all the talk, and he's put out of the minds of everybody.
Well, that's the good news, because the good news is that Wayne Bennett said that and he didn't go and take it, because guess where James Roberts will be next week? He'll be playing against the Roosters on Friday night at Suncorp Stadium. He's the perfect fit to replace Jack Bird. So I'm pleased in some ways for the Brisbane Broncos. They didn't ship him like they shipped Cody Nikorima and then lost Andrew McCulloch at training last week. So maybe a bit of luck. James Roberts was an Origin player last year. He has an opportunity now to prove Anthony Seibold wrong that he is the right man now for the remainder of the season.
So will he come straight back in? Because you've got a Saka too that can play, go back to the wing, and then you can push the other young bloke back into the centres.
Surely they're not going to put
just depends.
I know what you're saying, Dale, that would, to me, that would be crazy.
It just depends where Roberts is at, but, like, you know, is Seibold given a reason why he sort of...
Well, that's the thing, Dobbo. Like, I heard Seibold over the last couple of weeks, and he said under no circumstances has Roberts come in and mentioned to him at all, one, that he's unhappy, and two, that he wants to leave. So where's all this noise coming from?
Oh, look, there's been no two ways about it. He's been disappointed with the role that he's playing at the club. Completely different coach. He was nurtured. I'm not being in any way disrespectful to James Roberts, but under previous coaches, he's been nurtured along. He's been managed. Anthony Seibold's given him clear guidelines, and he hasn't met those guidelines. He's very much of discipline, and at times, James has been ill-disciplined off the field, and it's caused some angst at that club. He's not happy, but he's not going anywhere, and everybody has been saying he's going to South Sydney. That was ruled out today by Wayne.
We talked earlier a few weeks ago. George Burgess, I read today that he's open to offers and certainly, you know, the potential of one of those offers coming from the Broncos.
Yeah, and look, it's interesting. I don't know where they would fit in, but they certainly need some experience. I mean, what about last night with Payne Husso? A credit to where this young man, 19 and runs over 200 metres. Last week, he ran the most. This guy, and in the sheds last night, all the talk from the Sydney media was that Brad Fittler's going to select him for the Origin. It'd be a fascinating story, suspended for the first 4 weeks of this round, 19 years old, and then be playing Origin and named in a couple of weeks' time. I don't know, Gerge, you're closer to it than anybody. Is he ready for it?
Well, I know Freddie was talking. Has been talking about him now for 12 months. Yeah. He mentioned him during last year's series. Obviously, he wasn't ready then, and he had the injury. But yeah, I think he'll be in and around the group, and I can't see why not. And I think, given the fact that we spoke earlier in the show about guys like Campbell Gillard and guys that have made up sort of that front row contingent for New South Wales over the past, or definitely in last year's series, there's probably one or two of those guys that will drop out. And if you've got a guy pushing over 200 metres at such a young age, but apparently, in relation to his preparation and other parts of his game, he's pretty well-rounded. So, you know, if he's going to come in and Freddie feels he can get the job done, I don't think he'll be scared to pick him.
No, I'm with you as well. Look, the Magic Round, as you guys are fully aware, it's a carnival atmosphere. There's two amazing things that I've come across since this has got underway on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. The good powers of the NRL decided to put a Bundy Lazy Bay in where you can lie in hammocks and drink Bundaberg Lazy Bears all afternoon. And that was one of the smart moves. And seeing the fantastic Emma Lawrence dressed as a tiger last night, I thought was one of the highlights. And she really got into the carnival atmosphere.
Oh, so, didn't she what?
Two highlights so far of the Magic Round.
Thank you, Dobbo. I appreciate that. It took a lot of effort, actually, to get the face painting
did
on
really?
And get the hair looking quite crazy. But they did a really good job. But have you spent much time in the hammock? How many hours do you think in total?
I had a little rest in the hammock yesterday afternoon. Hence, why I was a bit dusty early. But you know what? I come good.
Can you give us a Tiger's roar, please, Emma?
Oh, yeah.
So that's no then?
That sounds like a very sick tiger.
It does.
It's easier to do the panther prowl. You know the one they do at this stage.
I love it.
Wow.
Yeah, look, I had a terrific time last night. Of course, I went to City Rowers and didn't find out till Wally Lewis told me this afternoon it's been closed for some time. Which is no wonder I couldn't find it.
Yeah, Jay Butter.
So big in the 90s, Tony.
Absolutely. The crowd's obviously building up. The crowd's been good, Dobbo.
Yeah, huge. Last night, I mean, I don't think that ever the Tigers versus the Panthers have ever had 33,000 watch them. And that was what the gate was when that game started. 41,000 last night was their total crowd. The night before, the Titans and Cronulla, they had 18,000 here, which is a great result as well. Today, they're going, the top tiers, as you can see, there's already people is sitting in them. That means there's going to be 45. And tomorrow, they're playing the same as well. So it's a great, great spectacle. It's a great idea. And you'll find me after the Dogs in Newcastle. If you're looking for me, I'll be back over in the hammocks at the Lazy Bay.
Excellent.
Lazy Bay, yeah.
Dobbo, lovely to talk from
you. Work, mate.
I think that's when we should do our next cross to you.
Can you order Uber Eats at the Lazy Hammock?
I'll be over there. I'll ring you from the hammock.
Hey, Dobbo, just before you go, has anyone been going out? We've heard a couple of the journos have been having a bit of fun. Reedy in particular.
Reedy. Oh, yeah.
You know, anyone else, any of the other players or coaches have going out and having a drink, or have they all been in and out of there?
This is the funny thing. The NRL have really been strategic about this. I spoke to Wayne about they play tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock. We're covering that on Triple M. They are on the 8:30 flight out of Brisbane tomorrow night. The NRL, they're playing and then they're getting out. So, bar the Melbourne Storm and Parramatta, all four teams are out of here tonight. There's no carry-on, so It's a real shame because, you know, what could possibly go wrong with 16 NRL teams out in Brisbane, you know?
Absolutely. Join us in the Athletes' Village. It's like the Olympics. That's what should be happening, Dobbo.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
All right, mate. Catch up again soon. Thank you so much. Bye. There is Dobbo's sideline there, having a look at the conditions, not just at Suncorp Stadium, but in Brisbane as a whole as part of this magic round. We're going to get something on the stock market very shortly. Reedy, if they do track him down, we're going to get Reedy's mail. And Peter Sterling will join us very shortly as we start to gaze towards what's happening this afternoon and tonight on Triple M as we rock the footy. Why wouldn't we do this?
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up. The Triple M NRL stock market.
Yeah, it's time to run a few things up the flagpole, see who salutes. The notion is you can either buy, you can sell, or you can hold on these options. I think I'll go with three at the moment. Now, you all may well have read the papers today. Dylan Walker has been found not guilty of domestic violence by the courts. Now, this, of course, puts into question the NRL's no-fault stand-down policy. He was stood down, wasn't able to play. Given that he's now been found not guilty, does it bring that policy into question? I know there's going to be a ruling on Jack DeBellin from the courts this coming week on whether he should be allowed to play. The Rugby League Players Association certainly cast doubt on it. What do you think? The no-fault stand-down policy, are you buying, selling, or now holding? Ryan Girdler.
Well, I'm selling. I don't like the policy, and this isn't just in relation to the Dylan Walker incident. I just don't think there was enough thought that went into that before it was applied, and I think there's some sort of policy that needs to be put in place at some point, but just one that's got a little bit more detail around it, so I'm selling.
Okay, Emma?
I'll hold. I don't like the policy because I think if someone is charged originally for a serious crime and ends up being out of the game for 2 years and they're found to be innocent, I think that's incredibly unfair. But I don't know what the answer is. So it's easy to point the finger and say, oh, Todd Greenberg, you got it wrong, when I can't come up with the perfect solution. I think maybe a set penalty, which is shorter. So
your job to come up with a solution, though, Em.
I know, but should I be
saying...
It's
your job just to comment on what you think of the solution that they've come up with.
I don't think that is the right... I don't think that's the right policy.
Isn't it the job of all radio people is to bag stuff and not have an answer themselves?
I'd like to come up with a solution to the problem if I'm going to bag something.
Well, that's how very holistic of you.
Yes. I don't have the answer, but I don't like the exact policy the way it is.
I get it, and I'm a bit like that too. I flip-flop, lean like a fish in the bottom of the boat at the moment on it. What do you think, Wendell Saylor?
I'm holding, but something has to be done. I don't know what it is, but, you know...
But something has been done.
No, not really. No, but look, they threw it out there and then they didn't get it all ticked off. And that's what I mean. It was sort of, this was a great idea. Peter Beattie goes, we'll go here and do this. This is what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, okay, we need to get this ticked off. So yeah. I can see where they were going with it.
It's a bit of a bummer that it's kind of a retrospective thing rather than something that was in place before any of this action took place. All right, then what about James Seguiaro, the notion of him signing for the Broncos? He's been running around, for Newtown?
Newtown, yes.
To see him running around in a Broncos jersey. Wendell, are you buying?
Yeah, I'm buying. I think something at the Broncos, they need someone with a bit of energy, not just in and around like the team, but I think on the training field too. There just seems to be that personality, and Seguiaro can give him that, especially with the injury to Macker at the moment.
Yeah, all of the players that he's played with at various clubs say that he's the player that you want to have around. He's really fun, and, I mean, you know, sometimes he can get into trouble, but just in terms of being on the training paddock, he brings a lot of energy. Yeah. And especially with, I mean, even if Andrew McCulloch's injury isn't as bad as we originally thought and it's only about 6 weeks, but still to have someone there as a utility to sort of fill in.
He's a running number nine. That's what I think the Broncos, that'd be a different team with it, a bit like Cook.
Yeah, I'm buying. Obviously, they've got a place spotting their roster now that Nicarima has parted. So I think it's a smart play given the fact that, McCulloch's going to be out. I don't know how long. 4 months. I heard maybe.
4 to 6.
Oh, is that all? Yeah. Okay. And young Turpin, I think he was
good,
outstanding last night. I think played 80 minutes.
Yeah,
hasn't played first grade in a long time. So that's a big effort. They are come up against the Roosters this week. And I reckon if you get Seguiaro on the bench there, it'll just give a little bit of cover for Turpin, who might struggle in a game of that intensity.
All right, lots of renovations going on around the land and around the city of Sydney in terms of stadiums. ANZ Stadium will be, Allianz Stadium has been pulled down, is being pulled down as we speak. What does this mean for finals? Now, we learn that some suburban grounds may well now be back in line for playing finals footy at places like Cogra, Brookvale Oval, the Panthers Stadium, and Wynn Stadium in Wollongong as well. It sounds terrific for the fans in a smaller venue rather than, you know, an ANZ that may not be filled. Are you buying the notion, Emma Lawrence?
Absolutely. I like it. We don't get a lot of opportunity to have footy at suburban grounds, the likes of, you know, Brookie, Cogra, Leichhardt Oval. I think while there's the opportunity and there are redevelopments, absolutely. I'm buying.
I'm selling, Tash. I'm selling. I think that all the Sydney-based clubs should have their finals played at Bankwest Stadium.
Thank you.
By far. Without doubt. Mm-hmm. It's the showpiece of our game, the final series, and that is the showpiece stadium. So I know the Manly and the Roosters and those guys might complain a little bit about it. I don't think the players would.
Yep.
And the fans just need to get up and about because they will have a brilliant experience at this stadium. And if they're not going to get an opportunity to go there during the season because their club, say Manly or Penrith or whoever, don't play there on a regular basis, they should be excited about getting the opportunity to actually go there and support their team. They will love it.
Love it. There is not a bad seat in the house. Unless it's the second half of Parramatta St George, then every seat in the house is crap.
But wouldn't the players want to have that home ground advantage if there's the opportunity to?
Yes. Yeah, they would. Yeah, they would. But the players aren't always, you know, making the best decisions for the NRL. And I think the best decision for the NRL is making. And I think once the players get there and experience it, they will. It would be hard not to enjoy playing in that environment.
Well, you enjoy it, but you'd still prefer being at home.
Well, your home fans is like if you're Penrith. And your home fans are half an hour away. Your home fans are going to be there. It's not that far.
I didn't say it was too far.
Penrith aren't going to be there, good. I just want to let you know that.
So if you're a Dragons, Tony, if you're a Dragons fan, and you would rather go there than ANZ, wouldn't you?
Oh, totally. Totally. I know, I'm absolutely with you. I used to love it when it was at Allianz Stadium for most of the finals. Mm. It was the headquarters of finals. The flags were all up and that. You kind of had a sense of this is where the finals action is.
You got it.
You go there. I think it's
I was originally with you, Emma, but I'm with you, Gerds. You've sold me.
Okay.
They run out under the shadows of the Peter Sterling stand. Yeah.
I was sitting there last week to watch my young bloke. Loved it.
You're talking to a man who hasn't got a microphone.
I'm just talking to you.
Radio 101.
I said I was sitting there last week and I was talking to you.
Stello's over there learning how to panel. He's just going to come in a bit early and take over.
I love it. Sterlo will join us very shortly. But next it will be Reedy's Mail on Saturday Triple M NRL. Just loving Magic Round right now. The great man himself strides purposefully into this the studio with the strains of this. To welcome him, Peter Sterling.
Hey,
hair's coming out of the back of your neck.
Don't talk. Okay. Don't talk. What a week.
How good.
That's something, isn't it?
How good was that, Anfield? Did you stand?
I had one of the great mornings. Well, I had a great week.
Okay, talk me through it.
Well, your Dragons helped second half against Parramatta and then going into that game. And look, we 3-0 down after the first leg was, I thought it was pretty harsh against, if you saw that game, Liverpool were much, much better than that. But, you know, you don't expect the best club side in the last decade, arguably, to, you know, relinquish a 3-0 lead in that fashion. And look, the big thing is, as well, obviously, if you concede at home, so it's an away goal, all of a sudden you've got to score 5.
Yep.
Yeah, and that, so to keep the clean sheet was enormous as well. And, it, you know, to have no Salah, no Firmino, lose Robertson at halftime, it was unbelievable.
How was Klopp's interview after the game?
Fantastic.
How good is he?
He can swear as much as he
can. He wasn't a brilliant. It's not my native language. It doesn't matter. Hey, Pete, where's your affection for Liverpool come? Was that when you went over there to play? Is that when you aligned yourself with them?
No, I go back early, and I go back to the Emlyn Hughes, Tommy Smith days. My favourite all-time Liverpool player, Steve Highway, so that's going back quite a ways. But it was certainly fanned by when I went over in the mid-'80s to Hull, and one of the first things I did was catch up with Craig Johnson over there, who I been in contact with of late.
He's back.
Yeah, he is. He's living up in Newcastle, and he had a great day. And this is the first that work has heard of it, and actually the first my wife might have heard it as well. I'm I'm trying to get over there for June 3, but it's a couple of days before Origin. So I don't know if that can physically be done. But
is June 3 at Ant? Where is it?
Madrid.
I'm in Madrid. Oh. And a mate of mine is going over.
Once in a lifetime, Pete.
A golfing mate. And that's the way I'm looking at it. So I don't know if it can be done. Like I say, I haven't.
You'll cover his shifts here, won't you?
Yeah, I got you here.
Let
Pete.
Him go. No,
I don't want you covering my shifts at home, okay? Yeah. Like that would be appreciated.
No, no problem at all.
Kept your distance. That'd be good.
Well, you got a heavy workload there or what?
Yeah. I think Wendell's available, though.
Wendell actually was out at Bankwest Stadium the other day. You were right. He was sitting up in the stand, but he took two seats up.
Yeah.
How exciting was that for you, though, Bankwest? We talked about the game, the Parramatta and the Dragons, but the week before the opening, and there is, as deserved, well-deserved, your name yet again.
Oh, it's wonderful. And, you know, I have a great sense of pride and joy and all of those great emotions walking into that stand. And, you know, the first time I did it was with mixed feelings because it looked so different to what I knew and where I spent 15 years of my life, 4 days a week, 11 months of the year. So to see where it's come from, like the evolution of it is unbelievable. And to be a part of, you know, the first game in 86, to play the last game at Cumberland Oval before the fans went to work. So it's been wonderful to see. And you can still see kind of the footprint of the old ground out there in certain ways. But to go out there, I just felt very jealous of the players going out there for the first time. Can you imagine running out? And we're very fortunate to be presented to the crowd before the game. They had some of the Parramatta, you know, Hall of Famers or whatever. And just to stand out there and to look at the eastern side of the ground, our players came out and came and said hello. And just to turn around and just to see just a remarkable block of blue and gold, it was memorable. Yeah.
It's enormous. It's enormous. And it's a great advantage for the Eels.
Well, it caters for everybody, doesn't it? It caters for players, caters for fans especially, caters for the media. Everybody's taking it. And there's room there.
Yep.
Like there's the corporate suites, they're almost like...
Yeah, tell me more about the corporate suites because I'm interested.
Al fresco dining. Like, you know, you slide the doors back and you can go out onto, you know, so you feel a part of it all.
Yeah.
And just to have the opportunity as a fan to go in underneath and to watch the boys warm up in the area and then to have them run out through you.
Yeah.
Like, that's an experience. The best sporting experience you can have is to see or be put in places that you'll never have an opportunity to go yourself. And to be that close and to actually see the players just the other side of glass warming up there and then to have them come out so you can almost touch them. It's different than Lang Park in the old days when you ran out through the bar on Origin night. That wasn't a great experience.
No. But
something different. Yeah. But this is a good experience.
All right. So Magic Round, a couple of issues have come out of it. Well, let's start first with, I guess, the story of the weekend is Ivan Cleary and Penrith. Crisis, what crisis? Well, it seems that's the only word that can describe it.
Yeah, it is, especially when you had such high expectations of them, or I certainly did. I had them as a top four side, but I thought they could win the competition this year. But, very ordinary performance. Again, as Ivan pointed out, the worst. And I don't like picking on individuals, but the situation that Penrith are in, your attention to detail has to be spot on. And for Wonga Blake to miss a training session... And then to have to force to play Fumiano at the right centre. If you have a look at the tries they scored, like they were smart enough, the West Tigers, to see him at marker on two occasions to go down that side. And I really felt for the kid being put in that. And in the first 20 minutes, it was all over.
Yeah. I got more to pick your brain on that, but we just need to check out the latest NRL markets at ladbrokes.com.au. Back yourself. Remember, gamble responsibly. Roger Aldridge, I think, is with it. Oh, is it Josh? Yes, Josh Bell. G'day, mate.
Yeah, how are you going?
Yeah, very well. The Knights and the Bulldogs, first game on this afternoon, Magic Round. Punter's nightmare, really, on paper. What's happening with money?
Yeah, it is. Slight money edge to the Bulldogs as an outsider. Why not, really? They have had the edge over the Knights in recent seasons. Not too sure you would take the shorts about Newcastle just at the moment. The Bulldogs, they're at $2.50. The Knights, $1.52. If you're wanting to have a crack at the line, you can get $1.90 for the Bulldogs to get within 5.5. The same value for the Knights should they cover the 5.5 points.
Now, second up in the triple header today is Tony's Dragons versus the Warriors. Now, I think they've lost four in the trot. Tell us how unbeatable the Dragons are today. They're certainties, aren't they? The market must show that.
It certainly does. The Dragons are the solid favourites against the Warriors and definitely the best backside. Head-to-head, it's the Dragons, $1.67. New Zealand, $2.18. You can get $2 for St. George to cover the 2.5 points. The Warriors are $1.80 with a 2.5 point head start.
And what about the Eels and the Storm? We know that Craig Bellamy put a rocket up Melbourne last week and said if they're not going to perform, he'll find new players. So do we give them a chance to bounce back?
Interesting. There has been good money for Parramatta, though. They are the underdog. You can understand that, obviously, as you just said, given the Storm's recent form. The Eels, they're coming off a big win. They're only one spot behind Melbourne on the ladder. This one should be a great one. Parramatta, $2.65. They're the side that presents the value. Storm, $1.47. Melbourne, you can get $2 should they cover the 6.5 points. The Eels, $1.80 if they get within 6.5.
All right, Josh, thank you so much. Check out the latest NRL markets at ladbrokes.com.au. Back yourself, gamble responsibly. Sterlo, we're going to pick your brain a bit further on the Panthers and the halves and what it means for State of Origin in a moment. But Reedy's Mail is next. Saturday, Triple M, NRL. Oh, they found him. The eagle has landed, quite literally. Have you been in a helicopter today?
That's true, Tanya. I've been in a helicopter. I don't like helicopters. It's not much fun, but this wasn't a bad trip, actually.
What'd you do?
We flew down sort of, I don't know, somewhere on the outskirts of Brisbane, had some lunch, and then we flew back over the city.
What?
And did a flyover of Suncorp Stadium. It was pretty awesome.
And who's we? Who were you with?
And who paid?
It was me and a couple other types. Jimmy Hooper was there. The Triple M favourite was there. Andrew Webster, a couple of others.
All of the big dogs.
A couple other types, you know.
So well, who was sucking up to the media? Who was paying for it?
Oh, it's just sucking up. Might be a bit harsh, tone.
Really?
Who's going to be leaning on you in the next couple of weeks is what he's trying to say.
Queensland Tourism just wanted media to get an appreciation of our great Brisbane is. I mean, I'm from here, so I know how good this place is. But
I'm just looking up in the dictionary the word junket, and there's a picture of you next to it. All right, what's going on in the world of footy? I think the Melbourne Storm, unsurprisingly, not terribly happy with Gal.
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously this sort of lag over from last week when Gal sort of came out and raised some issues or highlighted the spat between Cam Munster and Cam Smith at the end of that game last week, and obviously Melbourne were pretty upset about the time. They didn't think he should have done that. And so I've been digging around it a bit, and I think one of their concerns or one of the reasons that sort of not happy about it is, you know, there was a rumour going around that Chad Townsend and Kyle Flanagan had a bit of a stink in the off-season. Now, it wasn't a punch-up. We're talking like an argument. And obviously there was a bit of tension there because, I don't know if you guys remember, but Kyle Flanagan came out and said, I want the number 7 jersey. Chad Townsend turned around and said, put him in his place, and said, well, kid, you've got to wait your turn. And it sounds like it bubbled over a bit of training. There was an exchange, a bit of a set to it. As I said, no punches, but you know, plenty of words said. And I think Melbourne thought, well, look, this happens every day at football clubs. Why does Gal have to highlight it? And we've seen how good Kyle Flanagan and Chad Townsend have been in the past couple of weeks. So whatever happened there, they put it behind them, got on with playing footy. So that's one of the reasons I think Melbourne were a bit perturbed about it. I thought it was a bit hypocritical, I guess, and it just adds more, I guess, fuel to that fire that goes on between those two clubs and between Gal and the Storm. They like to dislike each other and they've got more reasons to do it now.
Still, you wouldn't see any problem with a couple of players argy-bargy about perhaps a wrong decision on the field, which all that seemed to be.
No, and these days, you know, with the amount of cameras, you know somebody's going to see it. So it's, you know, it's nice whether Gal mentioned it or not, it was going to, someone was going to bring it up, no doubt. But no, I wouldn't see much in it at all. You know, they just got it wrong, and Melbourne rarely do.
Yep. Reedy, what about James Roberts? Where's he?
Yeah, look, I've been did a bit of digging around this today because obviously with Jack Bird out, that right centre position's wide open. Now, Jack White and Clint Gutherson got thrown up as potential alternatives in the past sort of 12 hours. But, look, I think James Roberts is still the man, or he's now the man back at the front of that race to that position, because he's going to come back in the team next week, it looks like. I mean, there's no question about that. I would think with Wayne Bennett basically coming out today and completely ending South Sydney's or any suggestion he's going to South Sydney. So he's going to stay at Brisbane. And, you know, Anthony Seibold didn't declare it last night, but he was the logical guy to come into that side. And look, New South Wales, that right centre position, there's not a lot of options. I mean, really, Jimmy's probably, as long as he comes back in the next 2 weeks and plays reasonably well, I think Jimmy Roberts will show a bit of loyalty there, and Jimmy Roberts will keep his spot. So when you consider where he's been this week and this season, I mean, it'd be pretty remarkable if Jimmy Roberts was to be there. But I just think by the sounds of it, the lack of alternatives means that as long as Jimmy gets through the next couple of weeks and plays decent footy, he's going to be the man to play right centre for New South Wales.
Reedy, even though there's now a spot there with Jack Bird being injured, do you think, from what you're hearing, I mean, there's always whispers, some are true and some are just rumours, and people have put them out there with certain agendas, but do you think James Roberts is happy there? Like, do you think if Wayne Bennett has said no, do you think he'll sniff around elsewhere?
Well, I just don't know where he could go. I mean, he's a good player, obviously, and there's no doubt things have been difficult this year for him. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, I sat down with Anthony Seibold on Wednesday and we asked him specifically about James Roberts. He said, there's no issue between Jimmy and I. We've never had a falling out as such. I mean, he's been disappointed with the way Jimmy's played. There's no question about that. Maybe disappointed at times with his attitude. But, that's not irreversible. I mean, Jimmy can turn that around. It's just up to whether Jimmy wants to turn it around. And, he'll get the opportunity now because it doesn't sound like he's going to leave Brisbane before June 30. There's no other clubs that have actively put their hands up to take him. And the South consistently said he will not be coming before June 30 this year. It's now been confirmed. So, I don't think it's irreparable. I think it's just down to Jimmy and whether he's got the desire and the heart to turn it around. But there's no doubt he's been a bit upset. You can see it with his footy. You can see the way he's playing. You can see it in his sort of facial expressions on the field and after the games that he hasn't been overly happy. But it's up to him now. The ball's in his court. And if he can turn it around, he'll retain his New South Wales jersey. And that might springboard him for the rest of the year.
And I don't think he'll have to do that much. I think Freddie will go with him for sure because he likes... the mentality of the Origin preparation changed with, instead of trying to defend victories, Brad Fittler needed to score more points. And James Roberts fits into that category. And he does have opposition defences concern. Jack Whiten's been fantastic. And I think he will end up probably being, I think his best position is centre. But I think it'd be really unfair on the young bloke to actually put him in. Because defensively, centres these days, you've got to be doing it every week. To change, I know it's Tom Trbojevic played on the wing last year, but that's a little bit different, and you can play him anywhere. But I just think Jack Whiten's first game at Origin level, out of position to what he's been playing, I don't think they'd take that chance, and I don't think it would be ideal for Jack Whiten to come in that instance as well.
You're spot on there, Stuart. I spoke to someone close to Jack this morning because I was just sniffing around it because I thought he might be a logical fit for that position, not because and obviously he's not playing there, but just because he's a tough kid who would seem to me as though he'd handle it and is sort of ready for Origin. But they said, look, exactly what you're saying, it'd be completely unfair on Jack to ask him to do that. I mean, he's played some centre, but it was 7 or 8 years ago. And look, Jack, we all know Jack's had, he's had some issues in the past, got his life in order now, but it can be a bit up and down. I guess can be a little bit temperamental. So if he was to come out of Origin and put in that position and didn't play well, it could have the potential to put him off for the rest of the year, and that wouldn't be fair on Jack. And I'm with you. I just don't think Freddie will go down that path, even though I would love to see Jack White in Origin. I just think he's made for it.
All right, Reedy, if you had some difficulties flying in your private helicopter this morning, what about the Raiders?
What about their day? So yesterday, they obviously were due to come up to Brisbane yesterday. They've gone to the airport at Canberra. Technical difficulties with their plane. They sat in the airport tarmac for about an hour, and the airport said to them, look, you can get to Brisbane, but the best way to go now is to fly direct from Melbourne. So they've flown down to Melbourne. They've got down to Melbourne, there's weather issues down there, and the flights have all been delayed. So I spoke to Ricky this morning, and basically the players only arrived about 12:30 last night, and the officials got in at 2 a.m. So the worst possible preparation for a game, when you think about the game they're playing too, the Sydney Roosters probably... it is their greatest test of the season and probably one of the games of the season. It couldn't have gone any worse for Canberra, but Ricky said it's no excuse. They're in a pretty good place and they've trained today and they're doing a fan event today. So, he said, look, it's no excuse, but it's obviously going to be tough for them after what they've gone through in the past 24 hours.
Mate, if you choose to live in Canberra...
I know you like that,
sir. Exactly.
Have you been there? Come on.
I've been there, yes.
Round and round and round in circles.
Yeah, I spent a year there one Tuesday. Well, Reedy, obviously, we've got plenty more. We could catch up with you, but sadly, time is defeating us. Thank you so much for Reedy's mail this week. We'll catch up again next week. Continue to enjoy Brisbane, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
There he is, Reedy. Of course, you can also read him in The Australian. I'm going to come back, wrap it all up. As we said, we'll get Sturlo's take on the numbers 6 and 7 in the Blues jersey and have a quick look at what is happening this afternoon as the Magic Round continues. Lovely to have your company heading towards kickoff, 3 o'clock, the Bulldogs and the Knights. Before we get there, the story of the week has been, of the past couple of days, has been Panthers and their performance. We talked about the halves, Ryan Girdler, and the mentioning whether, in fact, what is going on at the foot of the mountains means they can't be or won't be, shouldn't be selected in the Blues side for State of Origin. Peter Stirling knows better than anybody. What are your thoughts?
Brad Fittler knows better than everybody.
Well, that's true. I stand corrected.
Yeah, look, I guess although it flies in the face of part of his criteria last year in selecting the side was that he was looking at sides who were doing well in the competition, and that's where he picked up. I think, you know, more than half the squad last year for that game one came from teams that were in the top four. You know, and the Dragons were going great guns, and so he lived up to. I think Nathan Cleary will be there, and every time I hear Brad Fittler talk about Nathan Cleary, he talks more about the little things that he obviously looks for, and that's support play, defence, kicking game, all the little things that might not stand out. If you know, he's in a side that sits on the bottom of the ladder, and when you're a number seven, you take ownership to a lot of the, you know, the fate of that team. So as I say, it flies in the face of, but I think he'll go Nathan Cleary because I think he's seen enough in just the little parts of his game to justify him being there again. And I don't think they certainly don't want to burn him after, you know, introducing him to it last year. I think maybe James Maloney's in some strife. I don't think Luke Keary can do any more than what he has done to, you know, when they talk about banging the door down when it comes to selection, he's beaten it down, there's no doubt. And I think a lot, you know, his performance in last year's grand final has to be first and foremost. What he did in that game shows he can handle anything. So Origin is not going to be a problem for him. I think Cleary will be alongside Keary.
All right, there you've heard it from Peter Stirling. Look, we have got a very short amount of time to go. Just give me a quick thought. Bulldogs, Knights, the game we're about to hear. Who do you like?
Newcastle 3 in a row, Nathan Brown, super coach.
All right. Of course, if the Bulldogs were to win, I think that would mean that the Panthers would stay top bottom of the table. Warriors, Dragons, Girds.
I'm going to go, I think Nikorima will make a bit of a difference to the Warriors today, and there'll be a little bit of a spark there, but I think the Dragons might be too good in the middle.
Well, they need to win the old Drags. And Storm Eels, Emma Lawrence.
I'm going to go the Storm. Craig Bellamy would have put a rocket up them after last week, so they're going to win. Sorry, Sterlo.
Where we have to leave you, though. Kickoff is just around the corner. Magic round, just absolutely brilliant. It's Triple M rocks the footy.